Now, join with Keith in welcoming you this afternoon. An excellent crowd, and again, we appreciate your interest in these things of a spiritual nature. We'll be grateful that God has spared our lives and enabled us to come together with His people. What a blessing. I want to talk to you for a few moments this afternoon about miracles of Jesus in Mark. Our Bible studies on Sunday and Wednesday are taking us through the books of the New Testament. We just surveyed Mark this morning, and Lord willing, we'll take a look at the book of Luke Wednesday night. I hope that you'll make arrangements to be with us and take part in these Bible classes. We have classes for all ages. Our Jason and Crystal are teaching the young people's classes in the house next door, and we appreciate their good work. So, they're good Bible classes for all ages, as the Bible is our textbook, and the Scriptures are designed to thoroughly equip us unto every good work, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It was pointed out in our survey of the book of Mark this morning that the gospel according to Mark emphasizes Jesus as the servant of God. A key passage in this book is in Mark 10, verse 45, when it is recorded, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And emphasizing Jesus as God's servant, Mark focuses more on the works of our Lord than the words of our Lord. Do you happen to know offhand how many miracles there are in this book? Don't answer out loud. Just think within your own mind. Would it surprise you that there are more miracles recorded than there are chapters? There are 19 miracles of our Lord recorded in the Gospel according to Mark. What I'd like for us to do is observe some of the various miracles of Jesus and take notice of things that Jesus had. The first thing I want you to be impressed with is the fact that Jesus, in these miracles as recorded in Mark, demonstrated power over demons. In the book of Mark, in chapter 1 and in verse 21 through 28, we read where the Lord, out of a man in the synagogue at Capernaum, cast out an unclean spirit. Verse 23, "There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." Notice in his cry, he acknowledged who Jesus was. He said, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Notice the reaction in verse 27. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among them, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Also in Mark chapter 5, in 20 verses, you have recorded the Lord casting legion out of a man who had his dwelling among the tombs. In chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, we read where the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman was healed. As the Bible says in verse 25, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And in verse 29, he said, "Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And then another example of that in Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 27, when the Lord cast out of a man's son, a dumb spirit. And this had been going on since this was a child in verse 21. And in verse 24, straightway the father, the child, cried out and with tears said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And verse 26 says that he came out of it. So these little stories help me appreciate the fact that Jesus had power over the demons. For on several different occasions, as recorded in Mark, he cast out the devils. But in addition to that, as I observe these miracles, I find that Jesus had power over something else. That is, he had power over distance. Geographical space could not limit the power or the authority of our Lord. I take us back to that scene in Mark chapter 7 when the Lord cast a spirit or a devil out of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. Notice in Mark 7 and in verse 29 and 30, he told the Syrophoenician, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Jesus was not in the same house. He was in a different area, in a different house. For Mark 7 and in verse 24, from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house. And then verse 25, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And so bodily presence was not required in the performance of the Lord's miracles. He didn't have to be where this person was, and this girl didn't have to be where he was. He just said the word, go thy way. The devil has gone out. And when she went to her house, guess what she found? The Bible says in verse 30, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. That demonstrates the kind of power that our Lord has. Power over distance. He's the master of distance. But also, when you look through these miracles, it's also observed that the Lord has power over sickness and disease. A number of the miracles of our Lord were healing miracles. Like in Mark 1, 30 through 31, when he healed Simon's wife's mother. The Bible says that she lay sick of a fever, Mark 1, 30. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. You might take note of the word immediately. These miracles were instantaneous. It's not that they gradually got better. That took place over a period of days or weeks or months. But it was immediate. Also in Mark 1, 40 through 45, you note the compassion of our Lord as he sees a leper. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, be clean. And verse 42 records, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Not only did he have power over fever and leprosy, but also over palsy. In chapter 2, verses 3 through 12, on this particular occasion, he said, as recorded in verse 11, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. In verse 12, immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. In Mark chapter 3, first 5 verses, you record, Mark records the man that had a withered hand. And on this particular occasion, as he's in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, there are those who are watching him, whether he'll heal on the Sabbath day or not. And the reason is that they might accuse him. They want to try to find some fault with him. And the Lord said in verse 5, stretch forth thine hand. Remember, his hand was withered. That would have been impossible under other circumstances. He's in the presence of one who has power over such maladies. And the Bible says in verse 5, he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Can you imagine being this fella and just being able to stick out your hand like that? That's because of the great power that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has. Power over sickness and disease. It's also demonstrated in Mark chapter 5. We read of a woman that had an issue of blood, a blood hemorrhage. Mark 5, 25 through 34. The Bible says she had this issue for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. She's encountered the great physician, one who can do for her what many physicians were not able to do. And she had spent all that she had was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, because she had the faith that if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And that's some faith, isn't it? When we've had that kind of faith, if I could just get to him and touch his clothes, I'll be whole. And straightway, you can't get away from that word. It's about 40 times that the word straightway and immediately are found in this book, in 16 chapters. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That's not all. If you'll go down to Mark chapter 6 and then verse 56. You'll find that it is recorded whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets. That'd been some sight with it. Can you imagine visiting a city and all the sick are laid out in the streets? And they besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of the garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. If there were such a miracle worker among us today, wouldn't you expect to see that? If he were to visit this town, for example, let's bring all the folks like that out and let's let them touch it. Or he say the word, they'd be made whole. Nobody was called out. It's not that there was some sickness or disease that was so difficult he couldn't overcome it, because he has power over sickness and disease. And the Bible says, as many as touched him were made whole. That tells me the healing was complete. There was no relapse. And that's not characteristic of the so-called miracles that are alleged today. Also, in Mark chapter 7 and the last part of this chapter, we read of an individual who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And so he couldn't hear and he had difficulty speaking. And in verse 34, looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, but he spake plain. Can you imagine having been there to have witnessed that? Can you put yourself in the place of this man? He came here, and all of a sudden the Lord just said, be open. You can hear it. You couldn't speak, and now your tongue is loosed in such a fashion you're able to talk. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published. Not only were the miracles of Jesus instantaneous, that they brought immediate results. They were not done for notoriety. It wasn't some kind of publicity thing. He didn't advertise. There wasn't some kind of a campaign or promotion. You know, those today who claim that such miracles are performed, they have these crusades and they'll publicize that, advertise them. The Lord didn't do that. He didn't heal for notoriety. He said, tell no man. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That's Mark 7, 32. Through 37. In Mark chapter 8, you read where there was a blind man that was healed of his blindness. He was restored and saw every man clearly. Mark 8, 22 through 26. And then in Mark 10, 46 to 52. Remember blind Bartimaeus, who immediately received his sight, when the Lord said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Power over fever, power over leprosy, power over palsy, power over a withered hand, power over a blood issue, power over deafness and muteness, power over blindness. Jesus, on numerous occasions, demonstrated through these miracles that he has power over sickness and death. Then there's another thing I observed in these miracles, and that is the Lord demonstrated in his miracles that he has power over sin. I want to take us back to a miracle that we read about in Mark chapter 2. You remember the occasion when the Lord preached to a house full of people? There were so many people assembled that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, what did he see? He saw them bringing this fellow. He saw them taking the roof off that building and letting him down through that roof. He saw the depth of their faith and said to the one that was sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Certain of the scribes sitting there reasoned in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'?" You see, if he was to just say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," there'd be no proof. There'd be no evidence that such had taken place. But when he says, "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," and saith to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house," and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, it was demonstrated that Jesus has power over sin. It confirmed the truth that he announced to the man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." As Nicodemus said, "No man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." In John chapter 3 and in verse 2. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 22, Peter preached that Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs. And these miracles, just like this man that was let down through the roof of the building, sick of the palsy, that was able to take up his bed and go forth before them all. It was demonstrated that not only does Jesus have power over sickness and disease, he has power over sin. He can say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," and they're forgiven. He can say to a man in a tree, like Zacchaeus, "Come down, salvation has come to thy house." And he has power to forgive our sins today. But not only do the miracles of Jesus in Mark demonstrate power over demons, power over distance, sickness and disease and sin, but also there's power demonstrated in another way. And that is, he has power over nature. Notice that several of these miracles demonstrated in Mark demonstrate and prove that the Lord has power over nature. He could supersede the laws of nature. In Mark chapter 4, for example, in verses 36 through 41, we find the disciples in a ship, and there rose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and the Lord was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" We sing a song about that, don't we? And Jesus, in an expression of his care, said, "Peace, be still." And notice verse 39 records, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Can you imagine one who has that kind of power? The wind, the waves are tumultuous, and the ship's about to be broken up. He could just say, "Peace, be still," and all be calm. Power over nature. His power over nature was also demonstrated in Mark chapter 6 when he walked on water. And another account shows where he invited Peter to do that. It allowed him even to do so. How'd you like to see a fellow walk on water like that? And it wasn't so cold that it froze. I said, that's impossible. Not for Jesus. Why? Because of his power. Power over nature. In the book of Mark 11, 12 and 14, his power over nature was again expressed when he said to a fig tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Mark 11, 12 through 14. And guess what? In the morning, as recorded in verses 20 and 21, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That's not because it hadn't been watered. It had been neglected or just left. No, it's because the Lord said what he did. He cursed it. And so it shows power over nature. As this fig tree was dried up from the roots. In addition to that, I saw in these miracles that Jesus has power over death. In the book of Mark, you recall in chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, how that Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathering unto him. Nigh in the sea, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter, lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Then you have the scene where he took care of a woman with an issue of blood. And then you pick this story back up at verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado? And weep. The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with the great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that they should tell no man, and commanded something should be given her to eat. This was not a case of resuscitation. It wasn't a case where there was some kind of CPR that was administered. No, Jesus said, "Arise." And he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's the power that was invested in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But also, Jesus demonstrated power another way. That is, Jesus, through these miracles, shows that he has power over time. I saw that in Mark chapter 5 and in verse 25 when I recalled reading about the woman that had this fountain of blood. You know how long she had this issue? 12 years. 12 years. It's a known fact that the longer that one is afflicted by a disease, the more difficult it is to cure. And a person might think that something's been going on for this long, there's no hope, there's no cure, there's nothing that can be done. But Jesus instantly healed this woman and demonstrated his power over time. Though she had suffered many things of many physicians for some 12 years, the Bible says in verse 29, straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And then finally, as you think about the miracles of Jesus, they show that he has power over material things. If you think of some material things that Jesus demonstrated power over, one thing you might think about is in the book of Mark chapter 6, when in verse 34, Jesus came out and saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. You know how many there were? The Bible says in verse 44, they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. 5,000, about, were fully fed by 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a miracle. Demonstrating Jesus' power over material things. He could cause the bread and the fish to be multiplied to an extent that about 5,000 were fully fed. And then you see again in Mark chapter 8, a similar scene in verses 1 through 9. When Jesus fed about 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few small fish, and took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And so Jesus has power over demons, over distance, sickness and disease, over sin, over nature, over death, over time, and over material things. He performed miracles like these for the purpose of producing faith. John recorded a number of miracles in John chapter 20, 30 and 31. And he said, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name." How can I read of these miracles and not have faith? How can I not believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be? That he is the Christ, the Son of God. He is the one with all power in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and in verse 18. And so I need to respect his power and his authority. You think about the kind of miracles that we've seen and the power that Jesus demonstrated. I need to yield myself to him, to surrender my will to his, and do all in his name. What a wonderful thing that he left heaven above and came to this earth and lived his life among men, went to the cross, was arrested, tried, mocked and ridiculed, sentenced to the cruel death, the cruelest death that you can imagine, by crucifixion, put to death on the cross. Could he have come down? Absolutely. He had power to come down from the cross. But he stayed up there on the cross for you and for me, so that our sins could be forgiven and washed away by the precious blood that flowed from his side when the soldier took his spear and pierced it, and there flowed out blood and water. Aren't you grateful that God saw fit to send his only begotten Son? And as Paul said, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You might think, well, I've done this or I've done that, and there's no way that I can be forgiven. Think about the power of Jesus. When you submit to his will by believing on him, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in him, and being baptized, your sins will be forgiven. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And I want to live in such a way as to please him, to allow him to live within me, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But one of these days, the Lord's going to return. And he's going to be our judge. The one who has all power. And he's either going to say, come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Or depart from me, I never knew. We can assist you this afternoon in making your life right with God. Submitting to the authority and power of King Jesus, won't you come altogether and ask him?